So it's my pleasure to invite Andrew up to unpick this reading this morning. But can I please pray for you, Andrew?
Oh, please. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the preparation and perspiration.
Amen.
Andrew has put into this talk this morning. May we who are listening, both here in the building and online, hear the words you want us to hear and to act on the message you deliver into our hearts. Thank you, our Father, my Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Oh, we're a bit more awake than last week. Praise the Lord. So if I say God is good, what do you say back? All the time. Let's do that one more time. God is good.
All the time.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, just got a few questions before I start my talk this morning. Why didn't the football player want to travel by plane? He was afraid he would be put on the wing. What did the manager do when the football pitch flooded? He sent on the subs. Okay, there's more. This is for the more technically orientated people. Why did the football player kick his computer? To boot up the system. Is that enough?
Yes.
Oh, all right. I know you were groaning in sympathy there, weren't you? Well, we're starting off this morning. Our reading today is about unity, but it's also about maturity. But first of all, we're just going to think about how humans love to be united in different ways. Football is one way that humans like to be united. We get thousands and thousands of people gathering every week in different stadiums around the world, really passionate about their teams. They're really united in following their favorite teams. People like to be united around literature and around the arts and drama and that kind of stuff. People like to go, like to be united when they go and see concerts, whether that's classical or heavy metal or rock. I was curious to know if there was anybody who was united with me in agreeing that Bruce Springsteen is possibly one of the greatest rock stars to have ever lived. Is there anybody in the house who? One, only one, two people. We will have a hug after the service. What do you think? We'll have a Bruce hug, yeah, and be united. People get united over projects, don't they? About voluntary things, things that we're passionate about. We come together united in project work. Some people get united over politics. Maybe we don't feel quite so passionate about politics right at the moment, but certainly people get very united over politics in different ways. And then there are causes that we get united over, and we have demonstrations where groups of people come together. And then lastly, has anyone got any idea what team this might be? No, it's a bit unfair. It's a team that didn't do very well in the 1950s. In fact, it was my father's football team. It was Arsenal, okay? It's Arsenal. I know that I can imagine not everybody in this room here is an Arsenal fan. No, I can see heads nodding. Maybe one or two. But let's not get too carried away. But what I do remember is what my dad told me. Well, what fascinates me about football is I'm not really into football, but what does fascinate me is how people they just follow teams no matter how good or bad they do over decades and decades, yeah? You know, you get this, don't you? My dad used to take me to Highbury when I was a lad, and he said, son, you know, this team hasn't always been as good as it is at the moment. He said, but, you know, there were times when they were in the doldrums in the 50s. But he said, They used to, what made the matches fun was that they used to lose spectacularly, you know. They used to have so many goals scored against them, so it made it quite entertaining, and I believe my dad. In fact, Dad, if you're watching, because my dad does watch from time to time, thank you for educating me about football. So, we're thinking about being united. Now, this is Paul's plea near the beginning of this text. He makes this plea. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's his plea at the beginning, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Whilst I was praying over the text this week, I felt there was one main theme, and I think that's borne out in this text, is that unity comes through maturity. Unity doesn't just happen because we all have nice, warm, fuzzy thoughts and, you know, using great brain power and great, you know, strength in our minds to be united in the Christian faith. We are united as Christians because we grow into maturity. We grow into understanding of our faith. We grow in experience. That's how we become more and more united. There are three kind of points I think our text shows us today. We need to be prepared for unity. You can't just step straight into unity. We need to be prepared. We need to think, what are we united into? What is it we're being called to be united into? And thirdly, how are we equipped for maturity? And Paul answers all these questions in this text today. So, how do we get prepared for maturity? Prepared for unity. First of all, Paul says we need to be humble. This is going to be really quite straightforward. There's no rocket science here. This is all going to be quite obvious, really. But it's not always easy, is it? When we are together in groups, when we're working with other teams, it's not always easy to remember these things. So being humble rather than arrogant or aggressive. Being gentle in spirit. You know, when you come into a meeting, rather than sort of coming in with your own agenda and your own way of thinking, why not think, you know what, I'm just going to have some grace here and be gentle about things. Being patient with each other always helps us in teams, and especially being united. Not being in a hurry and wanting to get things done quickly. And then bearing one another in love. Before I came to faith in my mid-20s, I had about 5 years hanging out with a bunch of guys who were all roughly the same age as me. We were all like in our 20s or early 30s. And there was about, I don't know, 10 of us. And we just about saw everything the same way. We politically, the sort of food we liked to do, the things we liked to do at the weekends, we were kind of like a group that just saw things our way. And then I came to faith in my mid-20s, and I entered the church. And I wouldn't say it was a shock. It was actually a really beautiful thing to come into, because I just realized that there's just so many more types of people with different interests. And I just thought, how diverse. I mean, where else would you get people of different, you know, political viewpoints, different social backgrounds, all these people from different places, all united? It's possibly, I think, the only place where you will gather such a diverse bunch of people who are actually united in one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's what makes the church so amazing. It also throws up a lot of challenges for us, but it also, it's a beautiful thing, and I think it's amazing, and I love the church. So what are we united into? Well, this is what Paul reminds us. He reminds us that there are more things that unite us than actually can potentially divide us. There are only a few things, actually, in the church that can divide us, but there's far more that actually draws us together. Firstly, we have one hope in God. We are one in God. We are also, there is one Lord and Father that we are united in. We have one faith in Christ Jesus. We have one baptism. And amazing, every church across the world will believe in baptism in one way or another. We don't all practice baptism in the same way. You know, there are some traditions who will baptize babies and young children. And there are some traditions that will only baptize those who are maybe teenagers or adults. We have a huge spectrum. Some people immerse babies right in water. Some, you know, different traditions. We do it differently, but we all believe in one baptism. We also all believe in one Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Every church across the world believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then there's one body. That's us. We, the church. We are God's people. We are one body. And we have one hope. It's felt rather relentless, I think, the last couple of years when it comes to hope. And maybe we're thinking, you know, as we were, as we kind of emerging from the pandemic, we thought, you know, maybe the world is going to settle down. And now we have this situation with Russia and Ukraine. And it just feels relentless. It feels like, not again, Lord, please come and bring some stability to our world. So again, we need hope, don't we? And we get that because we're united in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, how does God equip the church to become mature in unity? Well, first of all, Paul says he sent apostles to the church. He has sent apostles. Now, apostles are people who love to do new things. Apostles are people who see an opportunity and they go for it. They gather others and they go off and they do it. You know, the first disciples were called apostles because they started the church. They were sent people to gather and to help people come to faith. Secondly, God sends us prophets. Now, historically in the Old Testament, prophets were the people that were always calling back the nation of Israel back to God, back to being a holy people. In the New Testament, prophets are there to help us still stay on track with God, but to call the church to be a holy church, to be a prophetic church, to be a church that is taking the good news, but also prophets help us individually as well. We can have prophetic words given to us to help us in our walk with God, to know what God is calling each and every one of us to. And prophets help strengthen us. They help strengthen the church. Evangelists are the inviting ones, the ones who go and build relationships with those outside the church to help them help them find out about Christ and to draw them into the body. Pastors are the caring ones, the ones who will pray, the ones who will instruct and encourage and be there when things are tough and hard. And lastly, but not an exhaustive list, because there are lots of gifts in the church, but Paul chooses these five gifts in Ephesians, teachers. And they're the ones who help to educate us, to help us understand the Bible, to understand the deep themes and meanings of the Bible. That's how God equips the church. That's how he equips us to be united in maturity. Are you still awake? God is good?
All the time.
All the time? Amen. So, this is why Paul wants to see a united and a mature church, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I love the end part of that verse there. To become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How many people here want to experience and participate in the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? I'll just say that again. To become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How many people, why don't you put your hand up, if you want to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? We can experience that in the body of Christ as we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. The church has not always found unity to be particularly easy. Unity does not mean uniformity. That doesn't mean that the church has to look and feel the same all over the world, or even just in this country. We can have different expressions of worship. We can have different emphases on liturgy, and even on baptism as well. It's not about uniformity, but it's about being united in the main things. As a church, as my observation in the last 30 years, there have been three kind of big things in the Anglican Church that we have had to wrestle with. The first was the ordination of women, and we had lots of debate about that. And there are still strong views on the ordination of women, but I think the church is doing okay. It's made a choice, and it hasn't fallen apart. And then we had the decision to have women as bishops, which I just thought was a complete no-brainer. If we were ordaining them to be priests, why couldn't they be bishops? But they debated that as well, and we've survived. At the moment, the big issue for the church is the issue of human identity and human sexuality. It's a big subject that the Church of England is wrestling with at the moment. And as Joe says, we're running a course at 5 o'clock this afternoon over the next 5 weeks called Living in Love and Faith. And it's not a course that is designed to change anyone's view, but that might happen. But it's not designed. It's the main thing is about how does the church discuss these issues. It's not necessarily exactly agreeing. It's not about agreeing on all the different elements. It's about how do we talk. When I was at theological college, there were two colleges. One college was evangelical and one was more sort of liberal Catholic. And there were times when we would debate some of these ethical issues. And I have to say that sometimes I was very embarrassed about the ways some evangelicals would actually articulate and actually share their thoughts and feelings. It didn't seem to be full of grace sometimes. The same from the other college, from the more liberal Catholic. Because these are very emotive issues. I just want to go back right to the beginning. See, if we come into a room to discuss some of these issues, if we come with humility, if we come with gentleness, if we come with patience, and if we bear one another in love, if we love the person in front of us who has a very different opinion, then we can get some dialogue and we can learn from each other. There is so much ignorance in our world today, and it's mainly ignorance that causes so much of the grief around the world today. So, we've thought about unity coming through maturity. We're prepared for unity. We're united into so many good things from God. And we're also equipped for maturity in the body of Christ. I'll just finish with Paul's plea. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen.